Good evening, saints.
Good evening.
Recently, I've been thinking about the command to serve one another as servants of Christ. We're told to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So I think it's important for us to recognize, even when we're serving other believers, who we are really serving. The other saints may be beneficiaries of our service, but they are not our masters. Mm-hmm. They're not the ones that we're servants of. We're actually serving Christ. Mm-hmm. I think that's an important distinction. That could especially be important when maybe it's harder to serve someone in particular. But if you're serving Christ, then that's not really what matters, and you can have your focus correct. I think we also need to remember how we became servants of Christ, because that relates to why we are serving him in the first place.
Amen.
Ephesians 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So this is where we started out. Slaves to sin,
yes.
Enemies of God, totally unable to do anything that would reconcile us to God, even in the slightest. Mm-hmm. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So when we were dead in sin, God quickened. That means raised up. He made us alive,
yes,
with Christ in his resurrection. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He didn't just remove our sin. He didn't just acquit us or remove the judgment that was rightly our due. He raised us to a high position to share with him in glory for eternity.
Amen.
That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. His kindness toward us is the way that he has shown his grace, and he will continue to show it and manifest it through all eternity.
Amen.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So this is the conclusion he reaches to, following talking about all the things that God has done for us, that we are his workmanship, his creation, and he has placed us in this position with good works for us to do. This is both because we've been created by him and because we've been redeemed by him. We are doubly his. So God has actually planned things for us to do. And thinking about this, I realize this should affect how I think about my to-do list, because what I plan to do and what God has planned for me may or may not be the same things. So we've been made servants of Christ, but in the past, we were not servants of no one. We were servants of a different master.
Yes.
Know ye not then, this is Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. That's something to think about when you're tempted. Whose servant are you? Which master are you going to obey? Because if you're a servant of righteousness, you're going to obey Christ. Mm-hmm. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. This is how we became servants of Christ. We were slaves of sin, and we were redeemed, and we became servants of righteousness. And I think that recognizing that we have been redeemed by such great grace should define and control the way we think about being servants of Christ. Mm-hmm. It's a privilege to be his servant. Yes. We get to be servants of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who rescued us out of bondage to sin. So Jesus said that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I don't take this... Did I drop the verse? Well, you all know the verse. I don't take this to mean the actual tasks, the works that he would have us to do, that those are going to be easy. In fact, they can be extremely difficult. It can even mean sacrificing everything. But rather, I think he means that he is an easy master to serve because he is a good master. He's someone that we want to serve. The same job done for someone that you love is very different from doing it for someone that you don't really care that much about. Mm-hmm. So one of his main commandments to us is to lift up one another, to bear one another's burdens, and as we were talking about this morning, to edify one another. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." I believe the law that he's referring to is to love one another. Because in the previous chapter, in verse 14, he says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Then in Romans 15, verse 1, Paul says, "And them that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." So Christ is the perfect example for us of laying himself down for the brethren. Mm-hmm. Yes. We need only follow in the footsteps that our Lord has given us when he went before us. One of the ways that Jesus demonstrated this was when he washed the disciples' feet. And I think one of the remarkable things about this was the time when he chose to do this. It was at the Feast of the Passover, right before he was betrayed. John 13, verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself." So he knew his last hour had come. It was time for him to depart out of the world. And the last thing he did for his disciples was to humble himself and wash their feet.
Yes.
After that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And skipping down to verse 12, So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. I think Jesus' point here was not so much the washing of the feet in particular, but that we would serve one another in the same way that he served us, and in the same way that he served his disciples. We are not greater than him, and we ought not to think of ourselves too highly.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He continues on by saying, For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So he gives a reminder here at the end. It's not enough to just know these things. Only by putting them into practice are we serving Christ.
Amen.
And this time when he washed the disciples' feet reminded me of another time when he went to the home of a Pharisee and a woman came in. I don't remember the exact details, but she was washing his feet with her hair. And Simon, I believe was the Pharisee's name, he was not very pleased by this because he knew that she was quite sinful. And Jesus told him a parable about a master who forgave two debtors. And he asked, which one do you think will love the master more? And he answered, the one to whom he had forgiven more. And Jesus said of the woman that she had been forgiven much, therefore she loved much.
Yes, amen.
But Simon had not loved much because he hadn't seen his need for forgiveness. Galatians 5:13 says, For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another.
Amen.
For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So serving one another and serving Christ should flow out of love for one another and love for Christ. And not done begrudgingly, not only out of duty, but if we truly love one another and do love Christ, serving one another will come from that. It doesn't have to be forced then.
Mm-hmm.
It says, Jesus said in John 14:15, If you love me, keep my commandments. If we don't want to keep his commandments, the issue is that we don't truly love him.
Mm-hmm.
That may indicate that we have forgotten what he has done for us. In John 13:34, Jesus says, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And when Jesus says here, love one to another, he's not talking about mere feeling or affection, because that's not something that can actually be seen by others. Rather, he's talking about the fruit of considering one another more important than ourselves.
Yes.
And this is exactly what Paul brings up in Philippians 2. Starting in verse 1, he says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. our natural tendency is to think first and foremost of what we want, what we need. But if Jesus had done this, we would still be in bondage to sin. And so he's laid down a different example, and he's called us to follow the example of considering others first. He continues on by saying, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus, he had a much higher place from which to humble himself. And even so, he humbled himself to much lower than we will ever have to be by humbling himself to being obedient to death and taking all the sin of the world upon him. So if anything ever seems like too great a sacrifice, think of the mind of Christ that he had and how he took upon himself the form of a servant. And this final passage I particularly like because I think it sums it up very well, the reminder of what he did and why we serve him. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again."
Amen.
Your comments or corrections?
Amen. And I thought you reminded us to use the Lord Christ you are serving. Mm-hmm. So whatever it is we have to do, whether voluntarily or if we're coerced, we can do it for Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And is it valued? Certainly informs our attitude.
I like how you pointed out that service is a privilege. We do it in response to what he's done for us.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who realize that serve with greater zeal. Seems like people who have been in deep sin and fallen very far, they come back to Christ and they're more zealous. But all of us should realize we've all fallen infinitely far from God. We've all been in the same place. We've all been redeemed from the same hell and the same death.
We've been bought with a price, and I think recognizing that and recognizing how far we've come informs a lot of how serious we're going to be about the things of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
even in heaven it says, and his servant shall serve him. Mm-hmm. We're going to go on serving him throughout eternity.
Yeah. It's not as though God needed anything.
Well, I thank you for your comments. Brother John, would you close us in prayer, please?